Where we left off, we are up to Mishlei Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin, Sifsei Chachomim Yizoru Doas V'Leif Chisilim Loichein. Okay, Sifsei Chachomim Yizoru Doas. So what does it mean? What is this unusual word Yizoru? Okay, Yizoru Doas. So there's machlokes from Rashi and the Mitzudos. Mitzudos says ye zoru das hema mafazrim, to disperse the lips of the wise. They disperse wisdom, knowledge. Hema mafazrim esadas lulamed lakol, to teach to all. Then the pasuk includes something very frightening. The leiv kisilim loychein, the heart of the fools are not so. What does that mean? It's a very difficult expression, loychein. So Mitzuda says very shocking, very powerful stuff. Loy kein, what's the name? Loy kein yech betzu lilmoid kasher hachachomim chafetzim lilamed. This is the most frustrating thing any teacher, any rav, any person in capacity of education has, where the students do not have the same desire to learn as the Rebbe has a desire to teach. And the truth is, the Chazal yoyse mimash sha'egel roitze linak ha paro roitze lehonik, more than the eagle, the calf wants to suckle, the mother wants to nurse. And that concept is true, that Chazal used it as a metaphor for education, Jewish education. The teachers want to teach more than the students want to learn. And this idea is captured here in this pasuk. The sifsei chachamim yizaru doas, the lips of the wise, they have a yearning, they have an intense desire to disperse knowledge, to teach. But v'leiv kisilim loychein, the heart of the fools, which are the talmidim are telling, they're foolish, they don't realize who they have before them. How often do we hear stories of different rabbeim, the greatest of the great, and the students, they just don't appreciate who their rebbe, how much they were able to learn, to gain from their rebbe. So relative to what they had in front of them, they are called the heart of the fools, loichein. They don't appreciate what they have in front of them.
Imagine if it were the opposite, that wouldn't be very good.
That would recipe for disaster.
A whole bunch of burned out teachers.
But you never know. You should know one thing is, there's another very interesting powerful concept. It's true both in the Olam HaTeva, and also operates in the Olam in ways that are above us in the Olam HaTeva. If the Talmidim really want to learn, Hashem grants Siyat Deshmaya to the Rebbe. He can teach them things that he never knew. It's not a joke. It's a koyach. If the Rebbe has siyata d'shmaya to give to the talmidim more than is normal al pi derech hateva. This the whole principle of Chassidus is based upon this yisayin. Chassidus is based on the principle that if all the Chassidim channel their faith in one individual, Hashem mimele gives that person special siyat d'shmaya, special kach ruach hakodesh. And that means, what's very frightening about this concept is, it doesn't make a difference who the Rebbe is. The Rebbe can be just your average Joe. If all of the Hasidim will agree to channel their emunah, their belief in this one person, Hashem will give that person supernatural koyach. So that's a concept. By the Litvish Olam, they don't go for this. Litvish Olam does not give faith in an individual. The individual has to prove himself. You have to prove yourself. You're a Talmud Chacham. You have to, and then the Mela will listen to you. But you're not going to get koyach from us. You have to earn it. You have to make yourself. Once you prove yourself to be your own man, then we'll listen to what you have to say. By Chassidus is Fakert. Chassidim give koyach to the Rebbe. If the Chassidim don't give koyach to the Rebbe is nothing. Because the Rebbe Emes doesn't have to be anything special. Yeah. They're not going to like this. They hear Chassidim hear what I just said. They're gonna hang me up. But I'm saying there's definitely truth to what I'm saying, and they know it also. What?
I don't know if I mentioned this before, but Hannah Leibowitz, one Friday morning, he started a shiur, and about a half hour into the shiur, somebody... Rabbeinu Leibowitz was giving a shiur one Friday morning, and the lesson of he always had it on Friday. He was like on the parasha or various other topics. It was supposed to be like a lesson for the people, a moral lesson of some kind. And about a half hour into the shiur, a little more, somebody raised their hand and said, I don't understand, because this can't be, because something is not right with what you said. And he said, thank God. He said, the lesson for today was, just because I said it means nothing. He said, I lied. I based the shiur on a fallacy, and I was waiting for somebody to challenge me for 40 minutes. Not happy. He said, so the lesson for today is, don't trust anybody.
Very good. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's changed today. When I went to yeshiva years ago, the cultural differences between the rebbe, you know, my rebbes and others were my age, perhaps. We had European rebbes, and they did not know how to relate to.
Okay, so that's a cultural issue.
They were burned out. Well, they don't speak the same language.
Okay, that's different times. Those were different times. Today,
Holocaust survivor.
Today they're very, very tough. If you know what's going on in the industry, there are a lot of problems in chinuch. There's a lot of competition. A lot of competition, and there's this trend where they're trying to retire Rebbeim very early. Rebbeim get burnt out very quickly. A Rebbe teaches for 10 years, you teach elementary school for 10 years.
You get pushing them all out.
You get burnt out very. You get burnt out, and.
Rebbeis, teachers, professors, everyone.
That's
an economic thing.
There are other issues there going on, but it's a very big problem. The problem is, what are they going to do after how are they going to make parnassah? It's not fair. You know, you have to has to be some balance. You can't just fire a rebbe after 10 years.
He used to run to Moshe and he saved them. Now it's a different story.
Okay, parnassah, you have a responsibility. Yeah, where do you draw the balance? Pensions. So a lot of yeshivas now, those that can afford, when they hire a rebbe, they're setting up a good part of the salary goes into a pension fund. And in addition to that, it's written in the contract that at a certain age, you're out. Because parents don't want to send their children to our school if we're going to have a rebbeim that are burnt out. It's a very, on the other hand, you know, it's not fair to a person. Every rebbe is also a human being. Our Palm East sister of Palm, that one they wanted one kufa to have yeshiva on Chol HaMoed. Why not? Why shouldn't you have yeshiva on Chol HaMoed? Well, the kids, what should they do with Chol HaMoed? You should learn. Have a half a day. So our Palm refused. He says, the rebbeim are also people. They also need some vacation. For what you pay them, you can give them off a few days. Also, the kids will run around. So that's the parents' problem. But you have to also have some sensitivity for the rebbeim. All right, let's go further. According to the mitzvah, however, Rashi is very different. Rashi translates the word yezaru as a crown, a zer zof. So here it's giving praise. It says over here that the lips of the chachamim is a crown of knowledge. Their lips is the crown of knowledge. Yezaru das. Look, Rashi pasuk zayin. Sivsei chachamim yezaru das yachtiru das. They crown knowledge. Kamo zer zof, like a crown of gold. Lochein. When it comes to the kesilim, so Rashi says here something very strange. Einoi zof emes. The fools also wear crowns, but their crowns are sheker. It's not a true crown.
Fool's gold.
Okay. Loichein. Okay, I'm not sure that. I don't know how Rashi gets that. Right in the context, Rashi compares the word yazu to the word loichein. There's a beautiful medrash. So this is a powerful, powerful medrash. Medrash Tehillim. It's Yalkut Shmoni and Mishle here on this pasuk. The medrash says that Kadosh Baruch Hu ma'ase bereishis many times. This is a very interesting thing. I think only certain days does it say vayihi chein. Hashem sevayim ulekim yehi rokiya besocha moim v'imaldo din mayim l'moim. Vayas, I don't have the chumash in front of me, but it says every so often it says vayehi chein. Part of creation was chein. So here the rishon, the lev kesilim, the whole essence of kesilim. What?
Chein with a chav, not with a
tes. Chein with a chav. Yeah. Vayehi chein. Chav. It was so.
Only one time it doesn't say it by Yar. At the beginning it says by Yar. By Yar.
Oh. But everything else in Ma'is the Bereish, it says Vayihi Chein. It was so. The essence of a seal is to destroy the world. Foolishness. The essence of foolishness is to undo Hashem's Bria. Hashem's Bria was done with Das. B'chochma yosad aretz. Hashem established the world with das, and every single step of creation was fulfilled with the expression vayehi chein. It was so. Sifsei chachamim yizaru das. Who are the chachamim? Well, Hashem is the chachma. Hashem is the lashon yachid, but it refers to Hashem gave chachma to this world. Is the leiv kisilim? Their whole essence is lo chein, is to destroy the world, to undo the yehi chein of creation. This is what it says in the Yalkut Shmoini. Siv sechacham yizor das, Rabbi Yudin, Rabbi Pinchas, Oimrim, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Rishoyim. Ani barasi yasa oylam, vayehi chein, v'atem oimrim, loy chein. Your whole essence is to destroy the world. And it goes on to some other related matters. Okay, one other interesting idea. Actually, he's going to say this tomorrow, I bet. Rabbi, I have to tell him not to say this, because I'm going to spill the beans right pinto. And I was talking to him and learning, so he told me a gvald gvart yesterday. He said to me that last week's parsha, connection between last week's parsha and this week's parsha ties nicely into this pasuk. Last week's parsha, Yosef, well, it's 2 weeks ago, going back, really going back to parshas, it was a ben zikunim hayulo.
Hulo.
Vayeshev, that's the last parasha?
No, two.
Vayeshev Yaakov, Vayeshev Yaakov, Yosef, right, the last week's parasha. The Yosef was a ben zikunim hulo. The Baal HaTurim on the word zikunim says, Zikunim is Rosh Teva, Zayin, you'll help me with this, is Zeroim. The Kof is Kachim. The Nun Ziku, the Nun is Noshim. And Yud is Zikunim. There's a Yud Zikunim, a Chirik, Mole, with a Yud is Yehoshuos. Yehoshuos in the Gemara is an expression for Nezikin. And Mem is Moed. So Yaakov Avinu, why did Yaakov Avinu cherish Yosef? Because Yaakov Avinu transmitted to Yosef everything he learned in the Beis Medrash of Shein V'Yever. And what did he learn in the Beis Medrash of Shein V'Yever? 5 of the 6 Siddurim. 5 of the 6 of Shas. The Kodshim, Nizokin, Moed, and Yoshuas is Nizokin, and Noshim. So what do all the Mepharshim ask? What about Taharos? What about the last of the 6? How come he did not teach? It's not Merumas in the word Zikunim. How come the Baal HaTurim leaves out the Remes? There is no part of the Remes. So the answer the Olam says, very popular answer is, you can't teach someone Taharos. Tahara, purity, is something you have to learn on your own. To be pure, to be Tohar, it's very good for Chanukah. Tahara, the whole essence of Chanukah is Tahara. The only one pach that was Tohar. Tahara is something you have to experience on your own. Fine. That's what the Olam says. This week's parsha, when Yaakov Avinu, Yosef Avinu, Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, Ani Yosef, and then he said, go back to my father and tell my father I'm alive and bring my father down. He sent a gift to his father. And Rashi on this week's parsha says, what did he send? Yayin Yoshan. He sent him old wine. Shedas Zikenim Noicha Himenu. So he told me, Rabbi, what's the mean Das Zikenim? Zikanim alludes back to Kiben Zikunim. Yaakov Avinu only taught him Zikunim, 5 of the 6 Siddurim. But Das, now what's Das? V'hoya Emunas Itecha, Chochmos Yeshuos, what's the pasuk? Emunas Itecha, Chochmos Yeshuos, Chosein Yeshuos, Chochma Vodoas. In the pasuk in Yeshaya, there are 6 words in the pasuk, and each word alludes to one of the 6 siddurim. For Emunas Itecha, Chosein Yeshuos, Chochmas Vodoas. And the Gemara darshes each one of these words. The last word, Das, is interpreted to reference to Seder Taharis. So Yosef Avinu sent to his father, don't think that here I'm in Mitzrayim for 22 years. I was nichshol in any avera. I have preserved everything that you've taught me, the zikunim, and in addition, I've also learned on my own taharis. I've become an ish tohar, and therefore to be merames to this, he sent him yayin, because yayin is something shedahas. Zikenim noicha himenu. Not only is it the zikenim, not only it's also das. Yaakov Yosef Avinu said to Yosef, I learned also, say the Taurus, I am a Sholem. Just like you, Vayova Yaakov is Sholem, Sholem Mitairoso, Yosef Avinu revealed to his father that he's a Sholem. That idea you can say is hinted to in this pasuk, because this pasuk over here says, Sivsei Chachamim Yizoru Das. You can teach someone everything, but you can't teach someone, what you can't teach someone is Das, is Taharis, is the concept of being pure. That you can't teach. That is something that you make for yourself. The Keser Shem Tov, Oila Al Gabeim. The Keser Shem Tov, there are many, there's a Keser Kohuna, Keser Malchus, Keser Torah. All of the three Keser, to some degree, you can inherit. You can certainly inherit the Keser Kohuna, you can inherit Keser Oishar, even Keser Torah. Person is a child of a Talmud Chacham, Nu Memela, Memela, it's easy for you. But the Keser Shem Tov, Oila Al Gabeim, that you have to earn for yourself. And that is alluded to in the concept of Taharis. Taharis, to be a person who is pure, who is tar, you have to work on. And here it's called the Yezoru, is the crown. The crown of the Chacham is something which they, is the Das, which they have earned, is this idea. Yosef HaTzadik was able to say to his father, look, I also have learned, say the Taharas, I also have acquired the concept of Tahara. Das Yayin Yashan is Merambez on this. Shadas Zekinim Neicha Himenu. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches says, Zevach Rishoim To'avas Hashem, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to Hashem. But in contrast, it is the prayer of the upright is Hashem's desire. Mitzudos pasuk ches to avas Hashem kishadayim lo yishavu me rishom until the wicked they do tshuva from their evil deeds for lo yispalalu al hamachila and have not yet prayed for forgiveness. Just because they come to the midrash and they offer sacrifices, it's meaningless in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is the tshuva that accompanies a carbon. If they have not yet done tshuva, the sacrifice that they offer is meaningless before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In contrast to that, in the Mitzvah of Tzilas Yisharim, Hashayalim Mechila, the Eis Havos HaZevach, those people who ask Mechila from Hashem when they bring the carbon, Hahi, Havos HaZevach HaTzvila Hahi, that prayer, He L'Ratzon HaShem, is something which gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu great satisfaction. All carbonas require smicha. Smicha, you have to weigh your entire weight upon the animal and confess. And that is the ikar which the pasuk is telling us is the kapara. The med Rashi says zevach Hashem to'eva. Rashi right away plugs into the medrash. Bolok u'bilam u'tfilas yisharim ze Moshe. So here we have a read you the entire medrash. The medrash is zevach Hashem. Rabbi Yeshua Rashi is going to what it says. See, I'm really multiple medrash. We all come out say the same thing. I'm reading here from the Yalkut Shmoni. It's the shortest one. It's all over. It's Tanchuma, it's Yalkut Shmoini, it's Medrash Tehillim, it's all over the place. Just here's the smallest, the shortest one. It's from the Yalkut Shmoini, Rabbi Yeshua, B'Shem, Rabbi Chanina, Lufi Shebilam, Omar LeBalak. Bilam said to Balak, B'nei li vazeh sheva mizbechois, build me 7 altars and will offer korbanos. HaKadosh, so, V'akolayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem likes korbanos. We find that Hashem likes korbanos, we find in the whole Sefer Sol Torah, and they really quote very specifically Eiv, and Sefer Eiv said that you shall bring when it's made a party for his children after they concluded the Chanukah parties. He brought sacrifices. Ulai, what?
He said they were daily parties.
Daily parties. They had Chanukah parties every day in by Eiv. It's Chanukah the whole year round. So after the Chanukah, after all the parties, they brought korbanos. Ulai, maybe my children have sinned. They have a machshava ra, and therefore he offered many korbanos. So you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants korbanos, and the problem with those korbanos was it may have been good for he brought korbanos. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Yalkut Shmoni quotes. So just like there, there were 7 sons, there were 3 daughters. So just like there, he brought 7 korbanos. So to Bilam and Balak followed in that pattern, also brought 7 korbanos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Bilam and Balak, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rasha, Eini chafetz b'korbanosecha, I don't want your sacrifices. Zevach rishoim to'evas Hashem. This pasuk is a very powerful word. To'avas Hashem is the most harshest word in the Torah. I remember hearing that in a drasha when they were talking about same gender marriage. and talking about different groups of people that are giving legitimacy, and it's affecting our way. Okay, it's none of our business what goes on in the world, but we shouldn't be. We have to mechazik ourselves, and we should remember that the Torah uses a very, very powerful words. Toyavas Hashem. This type of union is called an abomination, and that the Torah does not use lightly. Torah used that word. It's a very heavy, heavy duty word, and therefore it's something that has to be taken note of. And here we have here that same exact word being used in reference to a zevach of rishoim. Toyavas Hashem. I guess maybe it's it's bal tashchis. You're taking the life of an animal. Why is the animal's blood? Animal in the Torah is very machmir and tsar bali chayim. About hashchis, why are you allowed to take an animal and burn it and destroy it? What right do you have? Umoyser oda min habehema oyin. Why are the animals? Why are we better than the animals? So if you go and you bring the animal l'shem shemaim as a carbon, you do it at Kodesh Baruch Hu once. Okay, that's very, very nice. But when you bring the zevach as without any kapara, just for fun, it's toyavas Hashem. It's a powerful word. Okay, Rashi says what? To bribe Hashem. Okay, in the Medrash's interpretation. Now the pasuk includes here Tvilas Yesharim Ritzonoi. There's a club. There's the Yesharim club. Who are part of the Yesharim club? Four people. Who are they? Number one is Moshe Rabbeinu. Number two is, give me one second, where I lost the place. Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, and Moshiach. I thought it was four. I guess only three. I'm sorry, only three. Three people are part of the club of the Yesharim. Why? Because only three times in Tanakh do we have a mizmor or a pasuk that begins with the word Tefillah. Tefillah leMoshe Ishu Elokim. What about David? Tefillah leDavid. K Tehillim Mizmor Yud Zayin. And the last one is, it's also in Tehillim, but it's not a reference to David. Tfilo le'oni ki ya'atoif. And Chazal interpret that pasuk in reference to the Melech HaMashiach. The Melech HaMashiach, Oni v'reichif al ha'chamar. So since in Tanakh, we only have three times, three different expressions of tefillah in reference to three different individuals, so that's what the pasuk, the Medrash in Agodas Bereishis. I don't know where this is. In Bubar. What's Bubar? That's an addition? Bubar? The Bubar edition. Is that a recent edition?
Probably. Later. Bubar only lived.
Okay, so the Bubar edition of the Agodas Bereishis, we have this
there's such a thing, Tanchuma Yashan is also the
Bubar edition. Okay, fine. So this is a obscure medrash that where it says Utafilas Yesharim Ritzaynoi, we are alluding to three people. Now obviously a lot could be said about this. I don't know what it is, but I'm for sure a good darshan. We have to give Ramayevsky an audience here to explain to us the significance, the deeper meaning of why Dafka these three, this team of Moshe, David, and Mashiach, they capture the essence of Tefillah. Each one had a different perspective on Tefillah. That's what you have to do. You have to analyze this message. There's something very deep here. Analyze the Koyach of Moshe Rabbeinu's Tefillah. Study Moshe Rabbeinu, his Koyach HaTefillah. Study David's Koyach HaTefillah. Study the Koyach HaTefillah of Melech HaMashiach, which I'm not familiar with. You hear about the Melech HaMashiach being Mespalel? I'm not familiar with that concept.
But the archetypes of leadership in Klal Yisrael.
There are three types of leadership. What are the three types of leadership? Moshe is a leader, very good. So you're saying something very good. Okay, excellent. You're really opening up. You're opening up the field wide. Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader, right? And then we have David HaMelech was Melech Yisrael. And then we have Melech HaMashiach, the leader. So we have in Echnam, you're saying something very powerful. Three different forms of leadership. And each leader needs tefillah. And the tefillah of these leaders, obviously for their tekufa and their mission was a little different, but together the synthesis of these three capture the essence of the Koyach HaTefillah, which the pasuk alludes to, Tefillas Yesharim Ritzaynai. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk test. Tavas Hashem Derech Rasha. It is an abomination of Hashem, the path of a Rasha. Umradev Tzedaka Yehav. But a person that pursues Tzedaka will be loved. So this pasuk, according to the Mitzvah, tells us you don't have to succeed. You just have to try. and trying will for trying there will be reward and punishment. Let's see pasuk tes derech rasha ha'holech la'asayis rasha ve'im shloy asah. This is very bechidish because we are familiar with the concept that a person has a machshava to do an avera and does not succeed in doing an avera, he is not punished. But when a person has a kavana to do a mitzvah and does not succeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechashev his ratzo and his will as if he did the mitzvah itself. But here, this pasuk, according to the mitzvah, does not say that. It says even when a person has kavana to do a avera, that alone is enough to be punished. So perhaps we're discussing non-Jews, or we're discussing people that have left the fold, and to them that principle indeed does apply. Let's see, one more time, derech resha, ha-holech la-asoyitz resha v'im shaloi asoy, even if he does not succeed. Vice, but on the other hand, in contrast to this, umiradif, ha-aradif la-asoy tzedakah, af im nenas v'loi asoy, mikol mokom, ye'ehav la-Hashem, he is loved by Hashem. Rashi, Pasik, but there is no Rashi, Pasik, Yud. Musar, Ra, Lo'izev, Oirach. There is Musar, Ra, there will be harsh consequences, harsh chastisement to those that abandon the Oirach, the path. Sone, and furthermore, Sone, Toichachas, Yomus, a person that hates Musar, rebuke will die. Mitsudos Pasik Yud, Musar Ra, Yisurim Raim, harsh punishments, Muchanim, are prepared, Lo'ezev Arech Hanachayna, to a person that abandons the proper path, Vehorayu, and a person that hates Musar, Yomus will die. Rashi, Musar Ra, Lo'ezev Arech, Yisurim Koshim, Muchanim, Lo'ever, Oirach shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to a person that transgresses on the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Aleph. This is a very bizarre pasuk. A very strange pasuk. Sheol va'avadon neged Hashem. The grave, and avadon means gehenim, are before Hashem. Certainly, alachas kama v'kama, af ki libois b'nei adam. Now, I don't. There's a kal v'chomer. There are only a handful number of kal v'chomers in the Torah. And the Torah itself, the Gemara actually enumerates them. And here we're enumerating over here a kal v'chomer here in this pasuk. Problem with the kal v'chomer is you only can make a kal v'chomer when you understand your starting point. If you don't understand the starting point, there's no way you can possibly build upon it. So we don't know what the beginning means. That what takes place in the grave and in Gehenim, Hashem knows about. The neshama should not think that when it's in Gehenim, Hashem is not aware of what's taking place. One thing was very, very. I'm going to say things I don't know what I'm talking about. But when I was a child, on a very simple level, we all think that when after a person leaves this world and he goes to Shemayim, he's in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's by the Kisei HaKavod, and he's right in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only in this world can we make believe that we're hiding. Like we go into the Beis HaKisei, we say to the Malachim, you know, please step aside for a few moments. In this world, we're able to basically lock Hashem out. We can fool ourselves that Hashem is not watching. But in Olam HaEmes, Hashem is there. There's no hiding. I don't know, I'm saying might be happy courses, but from the flavor that I get from the various things that we've learned, is it's not necessarily so. In Olam HaEmes, there are different madrigals. There are places to go. In Olam HaEmes, there's also a concept of going to the Beis HaKnesses. You go to the Beis Medrash. And then there's a time when you're not in the Beis Medrash, when you're more distant. Like even the most distant Mokayim in Olam HaEmes is certainly infinitely closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than we are in this world. In the Olam HaGashmi, no matter how close we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we will be infinitely closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Olam HaEmes. But that doesn't mean in Olam HaEmes it's all or nothing. It's just black and white. There are also multiple madrigals. A person can therefore make a mistake and think that in Gehenim, with this concept, that when a neshama, Rahman al-Islam, goes to Gehenim, goes to the Sha'ol, until he's taken to Olam HaEmes, while he is in Gehenim, Hashem does not know what's going on. I am in a makom that is sheltered, that is cut off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To say that is apikorsis. It says here in this pasuk, Sheol, when the neshama is in the grave, waiting to be retrieved by the malachim to be transported to Olam HaEmes, and even if chas v'shalom va'av adoin, the neshama has descended into Gehenim for purification, neged Hashem. Hashem is there. Hashem is with him in Gehenim, within the Sheol.
No, if he's in Gehenna, that means within 12 months he's going to go to Gan Eden.
I know, but in Gehenna itself, Hashem is also there. That's a very deep. That's a very deep idea.
Yeah.
So if Hashem is there, Al Achas Kamav. Now I don't know what the Kal Vachomer, how the Kal Vachomer follows through. Al Achas Kamav Kama Af. Certainly so. Ki Libois Bnei Adam. Certainly, Hashem is with a person's heart. Now, what does that mean?
Well, the person is alive.
Wow, man, what's the things that we don't understand Sheol about?
Exactly, that's exactly how I started. So you can't make a Kal Vachomer where you don't know, right?
Yeah, so that's the Kal Vachomer.
Right.
And you know what's in your heart, then certainly Hashem knows what's in your heart.
But what's the Kal Vachomer? It's hard to appreciate the Kal Vachomer when you don't understand the basics. I don't know, I'm understanding words. Let's see the Mitzvahs. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Sheol HaKever VaHaGehenim Heima Neged Hashem. It's very clear. We're dealing with afterlife. The idea kol asher bohem, and Hashem knows what's going on there. Umikol shekain sheyodea hu kol machshavos libois bnei hadam. What's the kol shekain? What's the kol shekain? The heart of man is when a person is alive. So maybe when a person dies, he's in a new world. He's in a new world. So everything in the new world, there, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on. So why is it a Kal Vachomer? Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's... It's certainly true. No one's coming to deny the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what we're thinking. That's a given. That's one of the principles of faith. But why is it a Kal Vachomer?
But it's an answer to the... I think it's the Malbim. It's
yeah.
Answer to those who think it's not so. That's the...
But what is the Kal Vachomer? When a person dies, you can argue, when a person leaves this world, even if he is in Gehenna, he's in the Kever, he's no longer part of this, the Guf is no longer attached to the Guf. So certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is with him, because he has separated from the Guf. But one can make a foolish mistake and think that when his Neshama is attached to the Guf, he's so distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem does not know what's going on. Now that's apikorsis, but the pasuk here is telling us it's a kal v'chomer. So I don't have clarity. Why is that a kal v'chomer?
What do you call it? He's saying what he said. The Malbim says.
Yeah.
Hasha'ol shehu amuk v'nifter nister yaser min alev. If Hashem knows what's going on in Sha'ol, alachas kama v'kama. What's the lev?
See? All right, okay, fine. If you understand it, okay, I'm just reading the words. Let's see over here, Rashi. Rashi, Yud Aleph, Sheol, Ve'av, Adam, Negin, Hashem, Goli, Lefanav, Kol, Asher, B'Seicha. Hashem knows everything that's taking place in there. Af, Ki, Kol, Kal, V'chaim, Hu, certainly, how much more so. Now, if you don't learn like Rashi and the Mitzudos, I think I've seen this passage interpreted in other places in reference to the difficult times in life. In life, people that were in the concentration camps, people that find themselves in a very difficult situation, they consider to be avadain. They feel like they're lost. They're in an extreme state of depression. And a person can think that Hashem doesn't know what's going on. That's the comfort to that is, look at this pasuk. Sheol v'avadoin neged Hashem. Hashem is with a person no matter where he is. I told you this story many times. One of my favorite, probably my favorite story is where a person, it's a mashal, learning the Sefer Mishnah, where a person, he goes to Shemayim, and they pull out the videotape, and he looks through his entire life. And his entire life is presented to him as a marshal of him walking in the sand. And he sees his entire life, he's walking in the sand, along mountains, along the ocean, the seas, here and there. And there are always two sets of footprints. And then there are certain points in this journey where he notices there is only one set of footprints. And he realizes that those were the difficult times in his life. So he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Ribbono shel Olam, how could the one set is his footprints, the other set is Hashem's footprints. So he says, Ribbono shel Olam, why did you abandon me in these difficult times in my life? So Hashem says to him, Those tkufas, those are my footprints. I was carrying you. So, Sha'ol va'avodoy neged Hashem. Person thinks in the most difficult times, Hashem is not there. That's not the Kodesh Baruch Hu is present even in those most difficult times. Okay, let's go to
a lot of the Gedolim said this was Hester Ponai.
Hester Vanuchi Hester Aster Ponai. Okay,
he's
but
there.
He's there, which we don't know. We don't see it. Okay, pasuk yud beis lo yehav leitz hoicheach loy. A leitz does not love when someone is giving him mussar. El and therefore, because he does not love the mussar, el chachamim lo yelech, he refuses to go seek advice from the wise. Mitzudas pasuk yud beis lo yehav bavush lo yehav b'teichacha. Because he does not love teichacha, lezed therefore lo yelech el chachamim mipachtoi. He does not go to the chacham because he's afraid. Pen yochi chenu, he's afraid they will give him mussar. If you're afraid someone will give you mussar, you stay away from the chachamim. Pasuk yud gimel lev sameach yetiv panim uva atzvas lev ruach nicheya. A good heart, a heart of simcha, makes a person's face look beautiful, and sadness of the heart causes a person's spirit, ruach necheya, to be crushed. Yud gimel l'mesudos leiv sameach, simcha saleif. A good heart, happiness in the person's heart, teitiv ma'or paponim, it enhances a person's countenance. Uzahoroi, and he shines. Uvavur atzvas leiv, and due to a sadness of the heart, nishbira haruach v'yashpil be'enei atzma, he looks down upon himself, he becomes depressed. Sadness causes depression. Rashi pasuk yud gimel leiv samech yet upon him im tismach libo. Now here Rashi has a drush. Rashi is now learning pshat like the mitzudas, that a person should always cheer himself up. A person should live a good life, and by living a good life he will be happy. Rashi learns Lev Sameach means Hashem's heart. That if a person does Torah and mitzvos, you make Hashem's heart happy. And what is the reward? Yetiv Panim, Hashem makes your face shine. Hashem responds by making your face shine, by giving you simcha, nachas, and bracha. On the other hand, if you make Hashem's heart sad, then ruach necheya, Hashem will punish this individual by breaking his spirit. Rashi, im tesamach libo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The heart here is Hashem's heart. If you will bring joy to the heart of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, belechtecha bidrachav, by going in his ways, then what is the reward? V'yitiv l'cha panav, he will make your panim good. What does it mean? He'll make your face good.
He'll show a good face towards you.
Right. No. The yetiv l'cha panav.
Panav is referring to the panav of HaKadosh.
Okay. Okay, fine. I'm sorry. The yetiv l'cha panav. Lasos kol ritzonecho, to do everything that you want, to grant you your requests. Kama. But the im ta'atzvehu, if you will set in Hashem. Then, how will you sed Hashem by doing averos? Yireh lecha ruach necheya, he will show you a harsh ruach. So it's Hashem. Hashem will respond by showing you a harsh, so it's not break your spirit. Hashem will show you his harsh side by bringing upon you suffering. How do you know this pshat in the pasuk? I have a makar. I have a precedent for this. I have this from the Dor HaMabul. Kido Omar, Vayis'at Sev El Libo, Hashem was sad, Vayomer Hashem Emcha Es Adam V'Goymer, the Mabul. When Hashem saw that man was corrupt, man Hihishchis Kolbosar Darkoy Al Oretz, Vayis'at Sev El Libo, Hashem's heart was saddened, Ki Leitze Machshavois Liboy Rak Ra Kol Hayom, man is preoccupied with evil the entire day. Hashem's heart was sad, and Hashem said, okay, I'm going to destroy the world. Emcha es Adam me al pnei Adama. So based upon that pasuk, again Rashi goes back to this pasuk and makes a very elaborate interpretation. Lev sameach, if you will go and cause Hashem's heart simcha, yetiv panim, Hashem's panim will be good. He will want to reward you. Uva atzva slave, if you will send Hashem's heart, ruach necheya, he will show you a crushed spirit. Hashem will respond with punishment. Pasuk Yudalid.
What is the difference between in the Hebrew between sadness and depression?
Sadness and depression, doctors will tell probably the same thing it means in today in medical terms. Sadness, something which is under your control. There's a time a person should bring upon himself sadness. In Chodesh Av, Mematin Besimcha. You're supposed to bring yourself into a state of sadness, but that has a connotation. You're in control, you're the boss. Depression is something which is unhealthy, which is Yeush, despair.
Right.
So just like whatever it means in medical terms today is what it means in Chazal's terms.
Well, in the Chumash it means you think God is not with you, but Chil Yolai Naim V'Davol Nefesh in the Tokacha.
Despair.
It's so, you know, you think that you're alone.
That's not right.
Nothing you can do for yourself anymore.
Sadness is when a person does an Avera, he has to make himself sad. I have rebelled against Hashem. You have to bring it upon yourself, but you have to control it. You do tshuva. And then through the tshuva, you then are entitled to take yourself out of sadness. Depression is a term which, at least today, is used in an unhealthy way. Pasek yud da'lev navon yivakesh to'as. A discerning heart seeks wisdom. Upi kisilim yire ivelis. But the mouth of the kisil yire ivelis grazes with foolishness. Yire means to graze the shepherd. Let's see the mitzvah pasuk yudalid. Yivakesh doas yichazer achar hadas lelamda. A discerning heart seeks wisdom, seeks to learn wisdom. Yire, but a foolish person, he grin. I don't really know what this means. I couldn't really. Yire, you'll help me with this. Yire yase es huivelis lerea v'chaver. I take that back. He makes foolishness his friend. V'chaver lios rogelima. He grazes. I'm not sure it means really grace. Yire could be means over here a rea, a friend. Rea mahuvim. So yire here means a friend. Yire iveles, he befriends foolishness. The mouth of a fool befriends foolishness. This is occupation to be a foolish person. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk tesvav. Oh, did I skip? Pasuk tesvav. Kol yimei oni ra'im. Now here's a lot of midrashim. All the days of the oni are ra'im. V'toiv lev mishte tamid. But a good heart is a continuous, life is a continuous party. Pasuk tesvav in the mitzudas. Kol yimei oni ra'im. Immi motzu lo yidei machzara. Even if you have a person that does not have what to eat, he's lacking the basic necessities. I'm sorry, the other way around.
He has
the basic. Im ki motzu lo yidei machzara. Even though he has the basic necessities, ki yiskane be'ashiri ha'on. And Ani is always jealous. He's jealous of the wealthy people. The ro'ina b'shalhem. His eye. It's an ayin hara. He has a harsh look at his friends. Aval, me, but a person, sheyesh lo leiv tov, but a person that has a good heart, lebal yera ina bizulah, so that does not look harshly upon his friend, yismach b'chelkoi, he has delight in what he has. V'yamim nidin lo yitam nikimei mishta v'simu, but a person that has a good outlook on life, he's not jealous, he's not upset that what he's lacking, he will always be able to enjoy life to the fullest. Rashi. The Rashi, by the way. Correct. So here we have a Rashi. Rashi right away jumps into some of the Midrashim. I'm going to go through a lot of the Midrashim, the Gemara in a few moments. Let's see what Rashi says first. Call me on Iram, Avafilu Shabosos, Vyomim Toivim. The Amar Shmuel, Shinivesses, Trilas, Cholimim. Shmuel was a doctor. And Shmuel, now why is Shabbos and Yom Tov different? Because Shabbos and Yom Tov, according to Tam Chazal, there was never a problem of food. There were many people that were willing to invite the poor for a good, delicious meal. Everyone had what they needed on Shabbos, no matter what your situation was. So Shabbos and Yom Tov, Anin have nothing what to complain about. The whole week they may have to go and search through the dumpsters to find what to eat, but not on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So they have nothing what to complain about. So why does it say Kol Yimei? The answer is because because it's a shinui veses. It's a change in routine. A change in routine. The whole week they're eating peanuts. They're eating food, and their stomach, their body is not used to delicacies. And now on Shabbos, when they have some delicious food, their body is not accustomed to digest this type of food, and it causes them to get sick. So it's never good. It's not good during the week because they're starving. And when they finally have an opportunity to have good food, that good food is not good for their body because their body is not accustomed to it. However, the toiv lev mishli b'toiv b'rashoi, a person's heart is satisfied in his wealth, whatever he has. Mishteh tamid kol shnoisav doimos lo yimei mishteh lalamdecha sheyehei adam soimeach b'chelkai. Rabbi Seinu Darshu, Mashtashu b'chelkai, Seinu Darshu, what did Darshu in Sefer Chelek? We have we don't do this today now with Sifrei Torah, but in the Parashas for Zayis Habracha, it says Ashrecha Yisrael Nichamaycha, and which means you are happy. Ashrecha Yisrael Nichamaycha with an Aleph, you're happy. In the Mesorah, the Aleph is a big Aleph. Just like you have a big base of Bereshis, and you have Shema, there's a big Ayin, and there's a big Dalid in Echad, and Ayin, throughout the Torah, there are Oisios, Mishunois, large letters. In the Messiah, it's brought down that the Aleph of Ashrecha Yisrael should be big. Why? To remind us, don't make a mistake and think that you're rich. Ashrecha Yisrael, exactly what it says over here, Aizeh Osher, Hasimeach Bechelka. The ultimate Osher is with an Aleph, not with an Ayin. There's a famous expression, you should be Zoyche to Oysher be Oysher. So people write this on Oysher be Oysher. With Aleph, Oysher with an Ayin, and Oysher with an Aleph. You should be Zoyche to wealth and happiness. But the truth is, the true wealth is, as he said, Ezer Oysher has Seimech Bechelko Ashrecha Yisrael with a big Aleph. Don't, by mistake, and think it should be written with an Ayin. Okay, now we have over here the Gemara. The Gemara talks about, there are many things of what this verse refers to. So the first famous Chazal is Masechta. A lot of this is Masechta Bava Basra. Okay, the first thing is Kol Yimei Oni Rohim V'toiv Lev Mishteh Tamid. We have Machlokes, does refer to Talmud versus Mishnah. If a person only has a limited amount of time to learn, what should he learn? Should he learn Mishnayis or should he learn a daf Gemara? So the Gemara basically says it's a machlokes. Each one has milus and chesronos. Learning Mishnayos, you have all the basic building blocks, of Torah Shabbal Peh. You have a davar sholem, you have a yesod, and if you learn a mesechta, you encompass many ideas. But on the other hand, the Mishnayos don't clarify, they don't answer all the questions. There are contradictions in the Mishnayos. The Mishnayos leave out the reasons for behind them, and the lumdis that goes into the makeup of the halacha. So on the other hand, it would be better to learn a daf gemara. But the amount of time you spend learning one daf gemara, you can learn multiple Mishnayos. So what is preferred? Is it better to be a baki in Mishnah or better to be a baki in Talmud? How should one divide up his time in learning Torah? So this is a big machlokes in the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra. I will read just a few lines of the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rav, Maidach Siv Kol Yimei Oni Roim. What does it mean? The days of the poor are evil. Ze Bal Gemara. A person who spends his entire time that he has for learning to learn Daf Gemara, he's an Oni. Because if you learn Gemara, you're not learning Mishnayos. You don't know the Mishnayos on your fingertips. So you're an Oni. And therefore, it's raw, it's evil. Why? Because you don't have the foundation. Zeb al Gemara, Shayamav Rami, Kabayachal, Machmas Reif, Hakushyos, Hanoflois, Sloba Talmudai. The Rashbam has another pshat. It's not a contradiction to what we just said. Is that when you learn Gemara, it's very frustrating. Little knowledge is dangerous. When the Gemara opens up the reason for the Mishnah and it presents you with some lumdis, that lumdis opens up a can of worms. Because now when you know a little bit, so things get even more difficult. So you walk away with tsar, and you have to struggle to really understand and clarify what you're learning. On the other hand, ignorance is bliss. V'toiv lev mishteh tamid, ze bal mishnah. Shinoicha Lilmoi, you learn al Mishnah, you learn Halachas, Machlekes, Rabbi Yehudan, the Rabbanan, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, you learn a few Halachas, you don't know too much, you got a solid foundation, you vary, this is the Rashbam's take on the Gemara. Shinoicha Lilmoi, Lefish Ein Bo Kushios Viterutzim. Rava heard what Rabbi Zeres said in the name of Rav, and he said just the opposite. Pumfar Keret. Serlan's Mishnayis, who are on, he's the poor man. Shayam of Ram, ki Einai Maven Karoi. You're learning, you're fooling yourself. Ignorance is bliss, so you remain ignorant. You don't know the reasons for the Mishnayis. You'll discover there are Mishnayis and Shas that contradict one another. That's called the Royim. If you want to have satisfaction in life, you have to learn the Daf Gemara. Ki Einai Maven Karoi, es Mashu Hulay Made, Al Kain in Yah. I remember once hearing the name of Chaim Knievsky. Someone asked him this exact question: what should they spend more time learning on? Mishnayis or Gemara? What's the halach? How do we paskin? Basic machlokes in the Gemara. How do we interpret the pasuk? Lev kol yimei ani royim is referred to by Mishnah. It's bad. Toiv lev mishtam is Talmud, or vice versa. Kol yimei ani royim is Gemara, Tavleh Mishtam is Mishnayis. So he said there's no Hechra, it's not decided. Whatever your heart tells you to do, whatever you want, there's no difference. Whatever you want to do, you get the reward is the same. There are some people that have a Netiya to Mishnayis, go for it. And there are some people that have a Netiya to learn the Talmud. If that's where your heart is, it's equal. There is no. The Gemara is discussing two different types of people. Every person is made. Well, some people an amkan. Some people like pilpul, and some people like bekias. Yeah. So it's the same thing. You can't generalize. Every person is different. Every person is program different, and Rav Chaim Kenevsky said, he said, like, they learn Zech Nishmas, Ili Nishmas, someone who died. She learned a Masechta, a Gemara, or she spend the whole year learning a whole Seder Mishnayis. Whatever you want to do, yeah.
Some of you guys might remember a shir that I gave on the Maharal's view of education and the importance of a very solid grounding in Mishnah before learning Gemara.
So the Maharal is passing like Man D'Yomar, Kol Yimei Ani Roim is Talmud.
That's the
Sumerian
yeshivas now that learn
Bekiyas. So it's just
the yeshivas that
they start a new derech. Yeah, they start like learning the Gemara. Yeah. So I know about those yeshivas. So it's very interesting. I know someone that was debating to send his kid to one of these yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. He asked children, so they have what's a certain name of the yeshiva. Zdolman Yisrael. So they learn Chumash. They know Tanakh, and then they learn Mishnah. It's a whole different derech of learning, and. So he didn't know what to do. So he did a thorough investigation of where to send his child, and the end was there are different types of kids. Some of them, this system is not good for all children because already this system already has been in play for many years. They're already mature adults who have gone through the system, and it didn't work for everyone. It didn't work for everyone. What?
What?
No, but relative to the classical system, the traditional system is you learn come away knowing nothing. You come away knowing nothing. It's not. The professionals tell us that it's not just a matter of how much you know when you get out of school. It's a matter of your outlook towards knowledge, towards your appreciation of Chochmah. The amount of time you're in school, well, you're in high school for 4 years, you have a whole life ahead of you. How are you going to continue your tshuka, your yearning to learn Torah the rest of your life? There's a lot to be said in that as well. So, especially after high school, you know, many people they learn at least for another 4 years before they get married, before they go to work. You can learn in those 4 years. You can learn. Many people end up learning in those 4 years infinitely more than they learned in elementary school and high school combined. And then, if a person is turned off at the end of high school, then the next 4 years he'll learn nothing. And then he'll get married, go to work, and then the rest of life, it's going to be a whole different type of life. So it's very important to know where a person's mind is holding at the end of high school. It's a very delicate balance, extremely complicated thing. So this Zilberstein method, for some people it does wonders, and for some people it doesn't work. And some people are very... everything, exactly. So some people feel, I'm just telling you what was reported to me, some people, there's less... There are many... If someone is matzliach in this method, he's way ahead. Way ahead of everyone else. However, there are many more risks. There's many more risks in this approach. The standard traditional approach, where you come away with very little, is much less risky. Nothing. There's no guarantees for anyone. We all know that. It doesn't. There's something to. There's. You have to go speak to this fellow who'll explain to you.
I don't think that's been empirically tested.
This is he was pretty thorough. This person he did solid research. The people who succeed in this method, like I told you, come out way ahead, light years ahead. But there are risks. The traditional approach, you're not going to come out light years ahead. That's for sure. But generally, there are less risks. That's what he told me. And if you know your kid's going to really excel, go for it. And if you're not really sure, then send him to a good traditional yeshiva. That's what he told me. And that's what he did with his kids. He sent him to regular yeshivas because it was very painful for him because he really wanted him to go to the other one. He just felt the kid, he said, also there's another problem. The problem was that the school that was available in his neighborhood was not, it was not up to the same level. They just were not funded. And they were not. They didn't have enough for Bayim and enough. They had the technique was ideal, but that probably would have made the difference for him. Because if they just had a little bit more, it wasn't. They were not enough. The kids were not as good. The kids were from different types of backgrounds, which he felt was not going to mix well with his type of kid. And they didn't have enough for Bayim. And the English department wasn't as good as what he wanted. So everything being considered together, so he put his kid in the regular yeshiva when he really felt that his kid should have gone to that other yeshiva. But he explained to me, this was all new to me, this whole chiddush, the Zilberstein method. And people attack, I know, I met a kid. There's a guy.
Yeshivas in Lakewood like that.
What?
I think two yeshivas in Lakewood.
It's been tried.
Yeah, this has been tried for years. This is not nothing new. This is nothing. This has been going for 20 years.
Modified forms in some places, but generally only in the more modern yeshivas.
No, this is a Haredi. This is a real Haredi place.
Very difficult.
In Eretz Yisrael, there are Haredi issues. In Lakewood, there's also a Haredi. Very, very not modern. I met someone. He introduced me to his son, and this Yom Naroim. He introduced me to his son is Zilberstein Yeshiva in Lakewood, so he knows the whole Tanakh. The kid's a good kid. He knows the whole Tanakh and like the Yerushalayim. Look, they see what they this technique. It really works. Look what they.
He knows more than girls do.
What? No, because the girls also go to that system. So they're already they're way ahead. Okay, so this is the first.
The thing is, a kid could be 15 and he's only doing the scholar's Gemara.
That's the problem. That's the problem. That's the risk.
That's the risk.
The risk is that they. It's when you finish high school. What are your hasagas?
No, but they say what they say is that the Gemara, once you're into Gemara,
yeah.
You accelerate.
Not accelerating. The way is your hasagas. What do you have a thirst for? Do you have an appetite for more? This is critical. If you go and you know Tanakh inside out, okay, no Tanakh. No, I know some Mishnayos. I'm done. I want to go off to work. I don't have a thirst. I don't have a thirst for the depth of Torah. When they somehow it's been proven that when you introduce younger people to Mishnayos, a little Gemara, to Lumdis, you open up in them at a young age a thirst for knowledge. And that thirst for knowledge manifests itself in many, many ways, which is very healthy. The trade-off is the kids are not Amoritz. He doesn't know Pasuk and Chumash. He doesn't know Pasuk and Nach. And he may never know for the rest of his life. And that's also a great danger. But yet, it's safe to assume that he has a thirst for knowledge. Okay, this is all nonsense for us. Okay, let's go further.
It's too late for us. It's too late. The Chidon HaTanakh.
Today for the adults.
No, for youth.
No, for adults. The youth is Atzmaot. Today is for the adults. Yeah. The adult. Today is the Chidon HaTanach for adults. For this is a new thing. This is a new thing. For children, it's on Yom HaTzmaot. The Chidon HaTanach for children is on Yom HaTzmaot. For the last couple of years, I think five years, I think it was Netanyahu, they decided they're going to make a Chidon HaTanach for adults.
Yeah, once his kid won.
My brother has participated.
Today. Today is the Chidon HaTanach. Rabbi Licht, you know Rabbi Licht is? Yeah. Rabbi Licht, the Yidavin, said he offered to bring in a screen, a projector, and a computer, and we can watch it online. We can watch it live. I passed on it, but maybe another time, maybe whatever.
Don't we have it on YouTube?
Yeah, you can watch later in the day. You can show watch. You wanted to go watch it live? Okay, I don't know. All right, let's go further.
Where is it?
Narrative show. Okay, let's go further. Let's go to the next one. The pasuk of Yisrael. Now, this is the first interpretation of Kol Yimei Ani Ram B'Tov Libisham. So the first interpretation is Pshat. We already did the Pshat according to Rashi and Tulis. Then we have this concept of learning Mishnayis for learning Gemara. Now comes to the next halacha, the next Chazal. The next Chazal is Kol Yimei Ani Ram is a good wife, Isha Ra versus Isha Toiva. If a person has Kol Yimei Ani Ram Zo, this is a shocking statement. Kol Yimei Ani Ram Ze Sheyesh Lo Isha Ra. A person has an Isha Ra, his life is nothing but misery. The Toiv Leiv Mishte Tamid Ze Sheyesh Lo Isha Toiva. Self-explanatory, nothing more to discuss. Next Chazal. Rabbi Yanai Oimer Kol Yimei Ani Ram Ze Istinis. What's an istinis? A person that's very sensitive. He sees something, some dirt, something that's not clean. Someone sneezes. Germs. You go crazy. Your whole life is meshuggah. Every single second, you're worried. You're worried sick. You can't even listen to the radio. I can listen to the radio. All these diseases, all these things, all these medications, and all these things they talk about on the radio, just the commercials. You got to your mind if you pay attention and listen to on the radio. So this istinis. A person that nothing bothers. It doesn't bother me. You can tell me all the horror stories. Just water off a duck. This person will have a wonderful life. Next Chazal. A person has too much compassion. Too much compassion. You see a poor person in the street. A collector comes. And he makes a sob story. So the rest of the whole day, your whole day is ruined. Because the whole day you're thinking about this. A shachris. The poor guy came and he put in front of me this car that said a pathetic, terrible story, a terrible tzar, Rachmanus Lislan, it's no joke. And it hurts you so much. So the rest of the day, you're ois mensch. You have a miserable life. A miserable life if you have too much Rachmanus. The toiv leiv mishta tamid, if you're an achzari, that's what the Gemara says. If you're a cruel person, it doesn't bother you, someone else's tzaris, so you'll get by life. You won't have no agmas nefesh. Okay, next Chazal. Zel kol yonirom zeh. A person has a quick temper. Shadaitei kitzara. A person who has a quick temper. Daitei kitzara. Every second you fly off the handle. A miserable life. A person that's patient, doesn't get angry. Zesh. The Toivle of Mishnah Tamid. Zesh Daitei Rechav. A person that's calm, serene, is okay. Okay, then we have the Gemara says Shabbos in because of the Tchila. We mentioned that. That was what Rashi said. Shmuel was a doctor. Shimei Veses. Tchilas Tchilimem. When a person changes his routine, his diet, a change in diet is the beginning of stomach illness. That's what Rashi says. And then one last thing is from Ben Sira. Anyone know what Ben Sira is? This is the Apocrypha. All the stuff that did not get included in the, that was not written on Al Ruach HaKodesh, but Sira seems to be a sefer that was written with incredible Chachma, equivalent to some degree to the Chachma of Shlomo HaMelech, but it was not written Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh. And therefore, it's not part of the Sifrei Kodesh, it's not been canonized in Tanakh, but it has tremendous chokhmah. And the Gemara often quotes from Sefer Ben Sira.
Is that something?
Yeah, you can buy, they have a collection of Ben Sira. Yeah, you can get it online, you can go into a store. If you go to the right store, they can people have written a commentary, a critical edition of Ben Sira. I don't know. It could be that it goes way, way to time of Shalom. It could be. time of Shlomo HaMelech, time of very early time of Chazal, or even earlier than what Chazal they compiled was written from before. It's a book that's Molei Chochma, and it's true Chochma. The only difference between the Chochma of Ben Sira and the Chochma of Shlomo HaMelech is it's not al Ruach HaKodesh. Blended into the Chochma of Shlomo HaMelech is Ruach HaKodesh, and the Chochma Ben Sira is pure Chochma for its own sake, which is. Is a chokhmah bo'amim tamin. There's no question that it's 100% MS. So here the Gemara says, here the Gemara quotes in Masechta B'Vashra and in Sanhedrin, Perek Chelek. This is really what Rashi was alluding to. Rashi says, the Chazal, Darshu Mash Darshu, and Chelek. Here I'll just read this last thing. Kol Yimei Roim, Kosov B'Sefer Ben Sira. Kol Yimei Onei Roim, Ben Sira Oimer. Afleilos. This is a very good example where you have the contrast between Shlomo HaMelech Ruach HaKodesh and Chochma of Ben Sira. Ben Sira is choylik on Shlomo HaMelech. Ben Sira says not only al pi derech hateva is the Yimei Oniram, even the nights. Shlomo HaMelech al pi Ruach HaKodesh says only the days. At night, it's okay. There's some degree where the Ani gets a degree of Menuchas HaNefesh. And this indeed is another Chazal. Chazal said that Kadosh Baruch Hu does not overburden a person with tzaros. At a certain point in time, when Kadosh Baruch Hu realized that the tzara is overwhelming, Kadosh Baruch Hu, he lightens the tzara in order to allow the person to cope. That is only something which is true through Ruach HaKodesh. And that's why it says, called Yimei, only days. There's a limit. We're leaving out the nights. Leaving out the nights means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Hashgacha Pravda will intervene and at least give a person a small degree of relief. Ben Sira, who's making the same observation, but not through Ruach HaKodesh, through pure Chochma Sateva, it's theoretically possible for an Ani to be miserable continuously from the time he's born to the time he dies, with no exception, even the nights. This is a very powerful Chazal, because this Chazal contrasts the difference between Shlomo and Ben Sira. What? So there it's a drush, that's an Alpi Ruach HaKodesh, a Halach L'Mosh M'Sinai. But here it's just a matter of Chochma. Let's see what he says. Kos Ben Sira, Kos Ben Sira, Kol Yimei Onei Royim, Ben Sira Oimer, Af Leilois, even the nights. Why? B'Shefel Gagim Gago. A poor man lives, his home is lower than the homes of his neighbors. So when it rains at night and the roof, the rain drips from the high roofs, it drips upon his roof. And from Hindu's roof, it drips upon his head. It leaks into his house. Af the sheifel gagim gagoi, the mitar gagim legagoi, beruach horim karmoi, which means that his vineyard is always is the lowest vineyard. The sediment, the dust from the other vineyards blow on his vineyard. May afar karmo lekramim. Okay, gives different examples. This goes on to say that he suffers even at night. All right, so that concludes this pasuk, and we'll stop over here. Pasuk Tes Zayin.